Hi and a happy welcome. My name is Christian Dietz from Equine 74. Stomach ulcers in horses is not uncommon. According to scientific studies and observations, the incidence of stomach ulcers in the horses we use for leisure, breeding, sport and racing is 53% to 93%. At Equine 74, we deal with this issue on a daily basis. We receive calls and emails about it, and riders and horse owners have questions about its development, causes, effects, symptoms, treatment, healing, and most common, prevention. Reason enough for us to discuss these topics with several people in our Equine 74 podcast. As always, we try to be simple, clear, and easy to understand. Today we are in Netherlands, and with us is Bart. Bart is, he can introduce himself the best, I think. We are at Havens Horse Feed. It's performance feed. It's horse feed for breeders, for leisure riders. They have everything in stock, and I appreciate that you have time. And Bart, please introduce yourself to our audience, and then I will start with some questions about your company and about feed and development and all these things.
Thank you, Christian. Yeah, my name is Bach Minte. Work at Havens Horse Feed since almost 30 years, so I'm a part of the furniture already. We're here in Maassees, based next to the River Meuse. Of course, that's a big advantage for us because we've received the raw materials by big ships as well. And my job at Havens is, I started 30 years ago with the market, to develop the market in Holland, finding resellers, finding new customers, because at that time the Dutch market was our most important market, or actually it was our only market.
Are you a rider?
Or? I was a rider before, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was a rider before. It was really nice. You mentioned Lisa Nora. I was training with her father
at Henk.
In my time I did Deurne, I did the school. You can compare that with Warendorf. I did Deurne, and during my practice I was also at Henk Noor's place for half a year or three quarter of a year. As a professional horse rider, I find out it was not good enough. And I always like more the commercial side of the horse business. So that's why I started up with Havens.
Okay.
And 30 years ago, and since then I first did the Dutch market, and now we sell to more than 55, 60 countries. And actually my main job is taking care of the export. So I'm in charge of all the export countries, or at least I think 80 or 90% of the countries. Then do all some development, marketing, and still have some contacts with the key customers we have worldwide, also the ones in Holland.
Tell us more about the development of your business of Havens Horse Feed. I have read in the internet that it's a classical way. There, somebody started with miling horse feed and selling it to farmer, and then are these people? Is it still a family?
Yep. It's still a family owned company. Started in 1845.
Wow.
And it's actually, we are based now on the River Meuse, but if you go 2 kilometers, a little bit more north, you see the old mill where it all started, also next to the River Meuse. It's a family-owned business, still it is, since 1845. And it was up to last year's run by two brothers. But unfortunately, one brother passed away last year, but now his son is in the company. So it's still a family-owned business with around 100 employees.
And so it's the fourth or fifth generation now?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah.
It's a success story.
Yeah, and at that time, of course, it was horses was not used in the same way as they're used now. So it was mainly producing feed for cows and pigs and poultry. But of course, since the last years, the horses went from working out to the field used for the sport. So also the feeding of horses changed as well in these years. So I think that we're producing horse feed since around 1950, just after the Second World War, we started with producing special feed for horses.
Okay. Yeah, one of the points for our audience, why I'm sitting here with Havens and Bart, is we do a lot, get a lot of questions about how to feed a horse correct. And I love to recommend the Havens feed as well as Pavo feed. I do have a lot of good experience with Dutch horse people and Dutch horse feed. So this is why we're here, and I will ask Bart later on a bit more about special horse feed. But go back, you said 1950, you start with producing the first horse feeds. How many different horse feeds you have now actually in your portfolio?
Yeah, now we have around, will be around 15 different kind of feeds we have. Of course, we started at that time with just with one cube, and okay, it fulfilled the needs for all kind of horses at that time. But of course, the time changes since then. We have breeding, and we also have more specialized products maybe for racing, more for leisure, more for breeding, for top sport horses performance.
The feeding changed with getting specialized horses like dressage. Do you differentiate between dressage horses and show jumping horses, or are they similar? Let's say?
No, they are more or less similar, of course, but one horse needs more explosive energy and other ones you want to feed with more long-lasting energy.
Yeah.
Because, okay, especially these days, a lot of the sport horses in show jumping or dressage, they have a lot of blood. And of course, you don't want to feed them too much explosive energy, because if you feed explosive energy, you're fighting the first 20 minutes against your own energy, and then maybe most of the useful energy is gone already.
So what do you say when you say explosive energy? What do you mean with explosive? What kind is it? Oat?
No, but explosive energy is energy that releases very quickly, and that is coming out of raw materials with some higher starch level.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's oats. It can be barley as well, can be wheat as well, can be corn. And the more slow releasing energy is energy out of fibers, of course. It's energy out of oil. You see much more these days. That's more the slow releasing energy on the longer term. Mm-hmm. But we really believe that horses need both. You need them both. But okay, it seems now these days that we have so much more blood horses, that the direction in feeding horses and go more to slow releasing energy mm-hmm. on the long term.
Okay. And you mentioned also you have 130 employees here working.
Yeah.
Is it on this place?
Yeah. Okay. We only have one production plant, but then we still have a storage plant also based next to the River Meuse in Venlo, but it's only storage. So everything that we produce and sell worldwide to more than 55 countries is produced on this production plant, so we can guarantee the quality as well worldwide.
Okay. And how many people are working just in the horse part? Because as we walk to this place where we are now sitting, you explained that you also have feed for cows and pigs and poultries and some other stuff. So how many people are only working for the horse business?
Yeah, we have, of course, the sales people that are going out. It's we have three in the Netherlands. We have one in Belgium, two in France. That is the commercial people who are visiting the customers. And then, of course, we have the marketing division, nutritional division. So it will be in total that is only working with horses, will be around 8 people fully employed. And then, of course, it's a lot of people in production that also works with horse feed as well, but also they work with the other feeds.
And the quality of the horse feed, you said, is the point why you only produce at one place, because I know other horse feed companies too, they have several places where they produce, but you are only producing here?
Yeah, so we can guarantee the quality. And we have some questions in the past from countries like in the Middle East or that ask, okay, can't we start up a production plant for Havens here in this part, in this region, because then maybe we can save some money by shipping. Of course. And of course we thought about it because it's quite a big market for us, but then still we work with other raw materials that is available over there. And everything what is produced over here, we can guarantee. We are in fully charge of the quality of the raw materials. We have our own laboratorium here as well. We do the checks on these raw materials. And if we produce over there, of course, it's out of our hand. And or we should work with own people in that production plant on that local base over there. But still, the raw materials available here in this part of the world is different than the raw materials available in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, and we want that our product is worldwide exactly the same. If you feed it in Japan or you feed it in America, it should be exactly the same composition. And we think that's the only way we can guarantee it is producing here in the Netherlands on this production plan.
Okay, interesting, because we also have on Equine 74, some, especially Middle East, was asking us if they can't do it down there, that the producing. And I said, okay, from doping relevance, there was somebody have a question, no problem. From doping relevance for us, it's very important that we don't have any problems with doping.
Yeah.
And we only can guarantee it when we do it in our production line, as we do it now in Germany, in the north part of Germany, and a friend of mine who's doing the production.
Yeah.
So this is probably the same of you, because you have, I remember Jérôme Dubelam, the big champion, he's feeding your product.
Yeah,
so
that's, yeah, of course. And yeah, just what, if we can't, if something happens abroad with our product, and even if it's, we can say it's produced in the Middle East, still it also affects our market over here as well. And we should not forget our biggest market is here, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Belgium, in France. And if we are not strong in this market, we should not even think about exporting our products.
Yeah.
You should be really strong in your home market to start up with exports. So, and yeah, we have the biggest, our most important customers are still here in this area.
Yeah.
So they're really important for
us. Yeah, and it's, we don't talk about a local brand, we're talking about a worldwide brand.
So yeah, exactly.
Havens is different to a lot of smaller feeding products. How big is your market? When we talk about Germany and horses, I remember that our German Federation, FN in Warndorf, they were talking about 1.2 million horses we have in Germany.
Yeah, in Holland we have 400,000, they say, officially.
Officially?
Yeah.
These are the registered horses for sport or?
No, all kinds. It's also ponies, it's all kind of horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, you said your market is the Netherlands and Belgium because of, as we see, the whole sport is always connected. It's more and more getting, everybody's going to Belgium and Holland for riding, especially show jumping, where I'm coming from. Yeah. So this is, and when you see this local area, Netherlands, Belgium, France, is this the when you see, as I said before, you have a worldwide market and you have a worldwide brand, is this still the biggest area of horses, or like the US, everybody's talking about the US market, that they have so many horses? So
the US market is a huge market, but just what I said, I think you can be, it's more easy to get really strong in your home country and then the countries around it. And that means transport wise, especially these days, like shipping containers to America will cost a fortune.
Yeah.
And, but okay, in show jumping and dressage, yeah, let's be honest, I think the top sport is here in this area, is Germany, is the Netherlands, of course, the UK is coming up. But still, I think the real sport in show jumping and dressage, eventing, then you are, I think then we are here in the center of the world. And still America is it's really important for us and really important market for the future, I think. And also I think the world is getting smaller and smaller because people fly so easily with horses from Wellington to Europe and back to Wellington again.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to available there as well, because people don't want to change their horse feed.
Yeah.
They want to feed the same feed everywhere in the world. That's why these markets are really important for us.
Yeah, but doesn't it make it difficult with shelf life and vacuumization, or how do you guarantee that the product, if it's going by ship over these equator seas, you know, how do you manage this, that the feed is not going, getting problems?
Yeah. No, of course, it is a challenge. We have 9 months shelf life on our products, and we always say, okay, if you can't sell a product in 6 months, then you can't sell it anyway. But okay, we should not forget we sell a natural product. It's made out of 100% natural raw materials, and sometimes it is quite a challenge if you have to storage feed in storage with 90% humidity and really high temperatures. And But of course, that's why we advise to work with air conditioned stores and storage. Moving air is even more important, actually, in the storage. But yet, sometimes it is a challenge.
Yeah. Coming back a bit to your history, this is when we look out of windows. It's a classical farmer area, so I guess the first horses were classical farm horses. So then it's starting to change to, as you said, now sport horses, highest level, and your customers coming still from breeding, sport, show jumping, gallop, leisure horses, all kinds of customers you have in your field.
And okay, we always say every horse is a potential customer, and even if it's a world champion or Olympic champion or it's the Shetland pony from the neighbor here, they're all potential customers, and they are all as important for us because, of course, we talk a lot about the top sport, but I think we should not forget that most of the horses standing with private people who just had them for fun, for leisure, and maybe do a little bit of sport.
Yeah.
That is the biggest quantity, of course, and these people just go to a reseller and buy our products, but they are very, very important for us.
Well, this was the next question for me, is how strong is your focus on each customer group? So as you said, we have the same feeling that these we always call them leisure riders, but they do every day some dressage work, or once a week they have show jumping on their own stable. But this is the biggest group of customers, definitely.
For sure. So we definitely don't want to forget them. And we also go to Aachen with a stand to promote our products. But we also go to horse event. It's a big event in the Netherlands with only actually leisure riders or a little bit of Western riding or with Iceland horses or with Shetland ponies. It doesn't matter what. So they are really important for us. Yeah. Really important.
And when we talk about the feed and the changes, you see, okay, horses now, as you mentioned, we have more blood in our horses, especially in the sport horses. So you see these changes, and how do you react? And the other way is, how long does it take to develop a new horse feed? I saw you have one, the green vet.
Mm-hmm.
So how long, where's the idea from?
Yeah.
Are you going around and see and so I have the feeling, or is it coming from customers, or where do you get your inspiration?
No, actually it's a mixture of a lot of these things, because we have sales representatives driving around. We always say that they are the heart of our company. They hear what's going on in the business.
Yeah.
They talk to the people, they talk to the customers, they talk to the resellers. Mm-hmm. If we go to a reseller and he gets demand for a product that he don't sell at that time, for sure he will try to find it because there is demand for it. People are asking for it. And of course, we also try to listen to the demand of the people, of the horse owners. And like a good example is like the Green Vet. At the time, I think it's almost 20 years ago or 15 years ago, we developed that product. And special on this product is that it has quite a low protein level. And that was necessary at that time because most of the roughage had a really high protein level at that time, because most of the roughage or the hay was just harvest for farmer people to give to the cows.
Yeah.
And then besides that, it was also given to horses. But it had a protein level of 15-16% maybe. Now you can see that times is changing, because now the protein level of most of the hay is going down, is getting less. So actually that product with 7.8% of protein, we're going to fine tune it a little more to increase the protein level as well, because time has changed.
Yeah.
And that means that also the demand has changed from our customers, because they don't want a product anymore with such a low protein level, because they realize they need a little more protein. Because the protein level of the roughage of the hay is getting less in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah. What we see, and when I talk to farmers and horse owners, they see the new way of farming, the biological way. We are not allowed to put on a lot of
fertilizers.
And these things. So also we have sometimes iodine problem. In former times, we had too much iodine in horse feed. Now, a lot of people say in the hay is not enough iodine anymore. So we do have some problems. And how do you react with your feet? Like you said now with us, this is the green vet, you just work on it?
Yeah, okay. And like the one of our two latest products is like the Performance 14 and Endurance 14. The 14 stands for the protein level. And before we never had a protein level of 14%, yeah, only in the breeding range. But now even in the sport range, and it's also that you just listen to the market and talk with veterinarians, that we realize that horses need protein. Protein, in 10, 15 years ago, people were a little bit scared about the word protein.
Yeah.
And now these days, people realize that. I always make the comparison with an athlete or with a sports guy who go to the gym. What he's doing afterwards, after practicing in the gym, he's drinking these protein shakes.
Yeah.
Because if horses or athletes are really working really hard, muscle cells are damaged and they have to rebuild again. They have to recover, and the most important substance for that is protein. So we realize that also with top sport horses, they need this extra protein level.
Yeah.
So that means the new product that we develop has already a higher protein level as the ones that we developed 20 years ago.
But it's not only for top sport horses. It's only for the normal leisure rider who's riding his dressage every day and has a competition every 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for, as you said, as you mentioned, it's for rebuilding the muscle cells.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know for years that you're working in Aachen. You only said you have a stand there, but you are one of the sponsors there, I think, for years now.
Yeah. Very visible. We are lucky, very visible, but we always try to get the best value for money. And yes, we are not only, we have a stand, we are a proud partner of Aachen. That means that we also make sure that the Havens horse feed is available in the stable area.
Yeah.
We put a truck there with 20, 30 tons of horse feed so people can get the Havens horse feed there as well. And actually we do that with a lot of events. We do that with a lot of world championships or Olympic games. We send containers with our horse feed that Havens horse feed is available on these big events that people don't have to change their feed, and also that they don't have to bring their own feed, because sometimes that's difficult with flying in these horses to far ends of the world.
Yeah, and this is also, do you get some feedback, especially in Aachen, just talk now a bit about top sport, but do you get some feedback from these top riders? I know that you are very close to Jérôme Dubbeldam and other top stars from Netherlands and Belgium, but do you get also feedback about your feet directly? Do they say, like you said before, it's I need more low energy, or is it coming not this explosive energy feed? Do you talk with these top riders also about your product?
Yeah, of course, not in Aachen, but of course we visit these people and you see them on shows, and every time when you see them, they always they want to talk, they want to, and let's all riders have some not problems, but 100% is. Or 99% is not good enough. Eh? Mm-hmm. All these riders are trying to get 100% the best result. And it's just all about fine-tuning. And if you can help them a little bit, to talk with them, to just maybe make some really small changes in the daily menu of feeding a horse, top sport horse. Yes, and of course you receive feedback from them if it works, yes or no. You talk with them and maybe 1 month or 2 months later you talk to them again. And then you hear if it works out or not.
Same you're doing with breeders. I mean, Netherlands and Belgium are the top breeding areas in the whole world now.
Yeah.
So all the breeders, the special for foals or for the mare and in different stages of lactation and after birth. So you talk to breeders too?
Yeah. No, of course, because just what you said, breeding is quite big. And we have a lot of big stud farms that use our products. And for them, of course, it's really important that the fertility of the stallions and the mares is good, that the growth of the foals is really good. But also we should not forget that the because all the breeders, of course, they want the big foals and the healthy foals. I think horse feeding is really, really important part of training or breeding or working with a horse. But it's only a small part of it. Eh? It's everything. It's together. It is the, is the stabling, is the quality of the hay, is the quantity of the hay, it's how the well-being of the horse, how the horse feels. It should be the total concept, and I think when everything is 100% right, then your horse can perform perfect in the best way, and the foal has the best start, and the mother get the best pregnancy. So, but yes, we really talk to them as well.
Okay. Yeah. And for me, as I'm here with my little daughter and with her pony, and she needs new horse feed, so where can we buy Havens? Is it in Germany? We can see that they're coming up very big online stores or shops.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Totally different than in Holland, but also the structure of reselling the products is totally different in Holland than it is from Germany. I think here in the Netherlands, in every city, small city, big city, you have a shop where they sell horse feed.
Yeah.
And I think in Germany, sometimes people have to drive maybe 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 kilometers to find a shop in the area who sells horse feed. And yeah, it's unbelievable. We also have some wholesalers who I think who do 80% on internet, and they sell huge amounts, huge amounts. Yeah.
It's for us, it's easy. You know, you order it and DHL will deliver it within a few days.
Yeah.
So if you look forward and say, okay, half of my feed is away, I need some more, it's quite easy. But is this the future also for or let's say we talk now about Netherlands and Belgium, but how about other countries where you're talking about over 50 countries you are delivering? Are there other countries where it's the same structure like here with wholesalers and stores, or is it more online in the US or wherever you are?
No, most of the countries we work with one importer, and then most of the time these importers sell directly to customers, to end users. Some of them also have resellers, like tech shops. They sell our products as well. How it will be in the future, I don't know. I don't know what Amazon, I know our products are available on Amazon as well. I'm maybe from that generation that thinks, okay, people don't buy products from 20 or 25 kg in 25 kg packaging, but they do.
They do, yeah.
They really do. So, where it ends, I really don't know. But we have a good example, like in Germany, the company that I know, he sells huge amounts, and I've been there, and we have pallets full of our products there in the stores, and they just collect one bag, they collect one box, they put the bag in the box, they go a stamp on it, they close the box, and it's sent out from their warehouse to wherever.
This is different, I don't know if we are talking before we start our recording, we are just talking about education. And Bart was asking me, why do we do this podcast? And I said, I have the feeling that we do get a lot of questions in our chat and on emails about horse feed and feeding, not about horse feed, feeding the horse correctly. And that's why we do this podcast. I would like to ask and talk with Bart about what are the special needs. When we talk about these customer groups, we talk about breeders and leisure horses and sport horses. Let's talk about general about horse feed. You mentioned that the horse need hay all day, need good quality. Just tell me about your philosophy of how should a horse, doesn't matter if it's a sport horse or a breeding mare, whatever, how should it feed in general? What do you say?
I told you before, I really think it's so important that we should not forget where the horse comes from. And the digestive system of a horse is developed a million years ago to digest fibers. He was running out in the field 24 hours a day, had unlimited access to grass. And that was the only thing that he was eating. And the digestive system is developed to digest the fibers. Mm-hmm. And of course, that changed a little bit. But okay, I think still it's 95% is exactly the same as it was a million years ago. That means that there should always be access, in my opinion, to hay, to grass, to hay, to fibers. People are really scared a little bit, but okay, then my horse is getting fat. And I think from good quality hay, a horse don't get fat.
I have to interrupt you. My little daughter was telling me, Daddy, horses don't get fat from hay, they get fat from not enough exercise.
Yeah, no, but that's also really true. And also the people who put the horse in shavings, they said, okay, but I said, but you have to give of horses who are on straw, for example. If you don't give good quality hay, then horses start to find alternatives. And sometimes the hay is more tasteful, or sometimes the straw is more tasteful than the hay. And of course, then the horse start eating all the straw, and okay, then they get a little bit this big belly.
Yeah.
But if you, in my opinion, if you have good quality hay, then horses don't get fat of it.
Mm-hmm.
And horses also, they don't eat 24 hours a day. Eh? They also take the times of rest. And it's not that if hay is available all the time, that horses are not eating 15 or 20 kg of hay. They stop on time. They have their own clock inside, and they know exactly how much they can eat. But at least they know that the stomach also should be filled a little bit with fibers, to buffer the acid level in the stomach of the horse. And I also said that our products, our feeds, is only working together with good quality hay.
Mm-hmm.
If people are feeding really bad quality hay, our feed can't make the difference, because the foundation is the good quality roughage. So that means that our feed is also only working when you feed it together with good quality hay, because that should be the foundation.
So, and should the day of a horse start with hay, like in the morning feed?
Of course, I prefer to start in the morning, because like in the evening or in the night, the horse is resting a little more, the digestive system is more or less sleeping as well. And then if you want to start in the morning with complete feed, the cupar muesli, and the digestive system is still not awake, that means that the benefit of the feed that you give to the horse is getting less. If you start with hay in the morning and the digestive system starts working a little bit, the horse produces saliva a little bit more, and then half an hour later you start with the cubes or the muesli with a ready feed, then the benefit of the feed is also much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think you avoid digestive problems, just to make sure that the digestive system is working already a little bit.
And in terms of muesli or power feed, whatever, you mentioned two or three times a day to feed it?
Even more, because the stomach of the horse is really, really small, really small. So we should feed small amounts. And three times is better than two times, and four times is better than three times.
Okay. Yeah.
But okay, it should be working in practice as well, of course. I understand if you have 100 horses or 50 horses, it's getting more complicated.
Yeah.
Or even if you're working yourself and you only can feed two times a day, because it's only in the morning and the evening, but then still try to feed small portions, and it's better to feed four times than three times a day.
Okay. As you know, our topics at Equine 74 is the gastric mucosa irritation, stomach ulcers, stress-induced overproduction of stomach acid, and I do personally appreciate Havens Gastro as a great feed for horses, and know a lot of riders using it. So please explain me, or the audience, a bit more about your concept from this Havens Gastro. I think this, just to explain it more, to educate the people a bit. Tell us what is in there, why did you made it, and just some opportunities of this super feed.
I think it was around 7 or 8 years ago that I had a conversation with a vet here in the area who was working a lot on sports stables, and she was also said, okay, but Bart, we have to find something for feeding for horses that work for horses with gastric problems, with gastric ulcers, or with gastric problems in general. And also at that time I also find out that the patent of omeprazole was ending on GastroGuard. And personally, myself, I'm not that big fan of GastroGuard, as I know it's the only product that works, because it stops the producing of stomach acid completely. And that means when there is no acid in the stomach of the horse, then, okay, he has less pain. But of course, a horse also needs stomach acid to digest the feed.
Yeah, the digestion couldn't start with
it. But okay, at that time, I had a discussion with her, and I really thought, okay, but we have to make a product, because I was quite sure that the future was going to be a lot of focus on gastric problem with horses. So we started to develop this product together with this equine clinic. And of course, we did the most, because I think that we know better than anyone what a horse need nutritional wise. But of course they came up with really good ideas, and then we started with that product 6 years ago, and from day one it was really, really successful. And not only because it was a kind of niche product that everybody was waiting for, and also there was a lot of in the media of horses with stomach ulcers, but also people who start feeding that really could see results.
Yeah.
And I was convinced about that product from the beginning, because of course we did a lot of tests with riders, with mm-hmm. stables, and just said, okay, just start with a product and tell me what's happening. And then I was getting even telephone calls after one day that they say, okay, I have a horse that always has diarrhea. And I start feeding Gastro Plus, and one day later, normal droppings come out. Is it possible? I said, okay, I really hope so it is possible, but if that is what you see, then of course it really works. And of course it was really my hope in my imagination that it was like that. But it was like that. We received so much positive feedback about that product, and still it increases year by year, and it's one of our bestsellers.
And how is it? Is it low starch? Is it low energy? What? Tell us a bit about.
No, we specially produce it, of course, for sport horses. So still, we said, okay, we need some energy in it as well. It can't be low energy because it is for sport horses, but we need a different kind of energy source. And that means the energy source in the Gastro Plus is coming from fibers. Mm-hmm. That means a big part of it is alfalfa. And also a lot comes out of oil. So mm-hmm. we can still have a quite high energy level, but we can avoid the energy explosion out of fast energy, because the negative thing about fast-releasing energy and also the raw materials that contains the fast-releasing energy is the energy explosion in the stomach of the horse if you give it to the horse. Mm-hmm. And if you get this energy explosion in the stomach of the horse starts producing extra stomach acid. And that is actually exactly what you want to try to avoid, these stomach explosions and these acid explosions in the stomach of the horse. That means we want slow-releasing energy for these kind of horses.
So that's why you don't put any oats in this product?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Because oat is a product where it's explosion coming quite directly after feeding.
Mm-hmm. I still had people who start feeding Gastro Plus and they said, okay, and then I give 1 kilogram extra of oats for the extra energy. I said, okay, but don't do it, because you try to solve one problem with the Gastro Plus and then you start up with a new problem by feeding oats. Yeah. Don't do it. So.
And this is a good thing. If you have people saying, okay, I would like to change my feed, I do feed regular, blah, blah, whatever, mm-hmm. and now I think I would like to try the Gastro, is it that you say, okay, but don't go slow by slow, or do you say make a cut?
Actually, it can both two ways, because I hardly never hear any problems that if you change from one feed to another. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem that can't exist is that horse don't eat a product, because they have to get used to it. Horses are really picky, and if you change sometimes, you change the feed, then for sure, maybe for one day, they can put up the nose and say, okay, I don't want to eat it. That can be the only problem, and that also, for me, is the only reason why you should maybe mix it with your current feed, so the horse gets used to it. But nutritional-wise, I think in 99% of all situations, it is not a problem if you just go from one feed to another.
Okay, from nutritional side, but from a practical way to see your horse.
Yeah, so it's better.
This is always what I'm telling the people. Don't make it the big changes too fast, because if you have a tricky horse, like with stomach problems, then it should be going step by step.
And I think especially that is for if you're feeding in the same energy range, then you can easily change. Of course, if you go from a really low energy feed to a high energy, or vice versa, of course, then maybe it's better to
step by step, slowly.
Step by step,
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned alfalfa. Before we met us today, I sent you an email and I said, a lot of people say that alfalfa is a nice feed or good feed, whatever, or raw material. But if they have too sharp, when they're knitting it too sharp, then it hurts the stomach or even the gut.
Yeah.
Did you heard this before?
I know. Yes, I heard it, but of course I heard it. I heard it just because of the people who feeding the alfalfa fibers, and if you feed
the pure alfalfa,
and if they are artificial dried, of course then there can be the hard pieces in between as well. And of course they can hurt the stomach of the horse.
Yeah, but I also think the horse starting eating in the mouth, so it's they biting it and then the saliva is coming. So yeah. I'm a friend of alfalfa. I think it's a good horse feed in general, and I never had problems with this.
I think the same problem you can also have with hay if it's really dry. If the dry matter is really high and it is really dry product, of course, then sometimes also you feel with hay that you think, okay, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that can be the same with alfalfa as well. But, okay, the alfalfa that we use in Gastro Plus, of course, it's already cut and milled. Huh? So it's only small pieces. You have the fiber, but you don't have the long parts in anymore.
Yeah. Okay, some practical things. I have a question. Please explain how you could help me with my horse, or what you recommend. Is a jumping horse, 7 years old, 172 centimeters tall, 650 kilos. Is on a A level or is on level at adapted to his age.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit hectic sometimes, and we do try to go to new places. Maybe weekly or at least every 2 weeks, and sometimes we start with the first shows. Or now he's seven; he's going a bigger level. So, what you recommend? What should we feed this horse beside the hay?
Yeah, of course, it all depends on the energy of the horse. I always say if your horse has a lot of blood, you have to feed low energy. If you have a lazy horse, a little bit, then you can have extra energy into your horse. If you have a horse with stomach problem or gastric ulcers, of course, then in my opinion there is only one solution. Then I always advise to start with Gastro Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And but if your horse is just perfect and
this horse has no problem with the gastric.
No problem.
It's just a normal horse. We don't see anything.
He has a lot of energy himself. He has a lot of blood.
He's quite a nervous horse. He's sometimes unconcentrated because of his. He was is a late horse. He was not bringing the sport very early. So but he has a lot of blood. Yeah.
Then I would recommend for this horse the Cool Mix.
Mm-hmm.
The Cool Mix is muesli without oats with a really low energy level,
mm-hmm.
But still a very high vitamin mineral level. And maybe you ask, but why don't you then recommend maybe the Basis Sport tubes? That could be energy wise also a perfect solution. But the vitamin mineral level of the Basis Sport cubes is lower. And mm-hmm. as you tell me, okay, I'm riding this horse, he's going to shows, training a lot. Then, of course, it's really important to have extra vitamins and minerals for these horses.
Okay.
And especially vitamin E, in my opinion, is really important for the muscle support. And that is much higher in the Cool Mix as it is in the Basis Sport cubes.
And would you recommend also some minerals extra feed? Do you have these in your portfolio too? Some supplements and minerals?
We have them. But actually, maybe commercial wise, it's not that clever. But I don't recommend them when not necessary.
Okay.
Because then I think for me it's just a waste of money. But also. You also like the kidney of the horse is spending too much energy and time in digesting all these supplements when horses don't need it, and all the vitamins and minerals are in the horse feed, and only in special occasions we say, okay, you can add some supplements if your horses with really bad hoofs. Of course, then you can add some biotin.
Yeah.
If you in summertime when horses sweat a lot, of course, then you can give some extra electrolytes. But in a normal situation, if you feed 1.5-2 kg of our products, you have covered all vitamins and mineral need that a horse needs nutritional wise.
Oh, that's interesting. And would you recommend regularly blood tests to see if there's problems in the horses or?
Yeah, only when you have the feeling that there is something wrong with the horse and you can't solve the problem.
Yeah.
then I think it can be good.
Okay.
But then still it's really important to have the right vet, because in my opinion, it's really difficult to read a blood test in the right way. And you need a vet who is really experienced in reading all the blood tests and also can tell you what you should do to solve it.
Yeah, we see a lot of Dr. Googles.
Yeah, yeah.
They have everything. And I always recommend go to a vet, trust the vet because he has seen your horse at least a few times.
Yeah.
And he knows probably your stable, he sees whether stress is coming up, so please go to the vet first.
A really important thing with this blood test is if you do blood tests, do them always on the right time. Because if you do one blood test 8 o'clock in the morning and next time the vet comes, he does it 12 o'clock, you get a totally different blood result.
Yeah.
Because the blood result before training or after training or before eating or after eating is totally different. So it's really important, if you do a blood test, make sure if you do it at 9 o'clock in the morning, that next time for the second blood test, you do it also at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Don't change time.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, and also circumstances.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. I have a leisure horse, 12 to 15 years old, let's say 15 years old. The owner rides him 6-7 times a week. Nice dressage, collections. Does proper groundwork, likes and loves to go out in the countryside. Sometimes they don't ride dressage then at these days. So what do you recommend this lady for a horse feed? What kind of horse feed she should use? It's a normal horse, a warm blood. There's nothing special, not a blood horse. You know, it's a typical German.
Yeah, this is actually the feed that I just told you before that you could choose between. I would advise this horse, just simple, the base is sport cubes. The horse is not working really, really hard. That means you don't have to provide them with extra vitamin E for training the muscles. Of course, you need a vitamin E for the muscle support. But the horse is not training that hard that he really is producing extra muscles. And then, in my opinion, horse feeding is really important, but it's not rocket science. That means horses who don't do a lot, who don't need a lot of energy, just take the simple way. Mm-hmm. They go for the basic sport cubes, for example. Everything is inside, all vitamins, mineral needed. And these days, maybe that you think, okay, the horse can have a little extra, then you can maybe top it off with a product that has a little higher energy level. Mm-hmm. But just for maintenance, like the basic sport brock is perfect for this horse.
Okay, that's it. Maybe one question to the future. What do you expect? What will happen at Havens in the next 12 months? What are you most looking for? You have some nice special feed coming out. You can tell our people.
No, of course we're always working on new products or thinking about new products. But these days, from developing a new product to have it finally ready to sell it in shops, it takes almost 1 year. For example, like the bag production, we have everything paper bags. We have to wait from beginning, from make the design to have the bags ready in our warehouse. It's almost 6 months these days. So that takes quite a while. But okay, we're always thinking and try to listen to the market, what's new, what people are asking for, what they want. Yes, and there are a few products, but okay, I can't say too much about it, that we are working on. So
we are looking at it.
Yeah.
We are looking at it.
One thing I can say that, and because that's not a big secret, that we try to focus a little bit more on the racehorse market as well. And we are developing a special feed now for racehorses as well, because okay, the Middle East and the Far East market is really important for us. Mm-hmm. And we also realize that these people want a special feed with a racehorse on the back, and that is really has special things in it that supports a racehorse during training and performing.
And if people have questions, do you have a phone number on the website where people can ask questions or email it or chat it?
Everything. So okay. They just get to come can come to our webpage by horsefeed.nl, and there is a special chat function as well, or they can, there's an email address on it. They always can send an email with questions, and we have the nutritional department who is available every day, who answer the questions.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Bart, for your time.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for coming here.
Yeah, and hope to see you somewhere at the shows, and if we get some questions to our podcast, we will pass it over to you.
Thank you.
And I say thank you again.
Thank you.
Ooh! Ooh!